dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact. I wanna ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say reality.
Hey, I'm here. I'm not sure how or why. I guess this is Tuesday. You know, this time of the year, I hate it. You get Mondays off. Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday. It's all over the darn place. And I've had an amazingly busy number of days since I was with you last. And I'm kind of out of it. You got to bear with me. I had an exceptionally intense sleep last night. I was so tight that I strained my right foot. I must have had that thing cocked, and just some news came to me last night that really angered me and upset me, and it has nothing to do with the things we talk about on the air, but you know, it happens. Anyway, Jeff Bennett here, Tuesday edition of Protecting Your Wealth. I got to be honest, I had full intentions of getting a hold of one of my suppliers today and getting a look at some of the things that we could feasibly do with gold. And give me just a quick second here. I'm going to just set this down. I'll send it later. And I just have not had a chance. To be honest with you, I am normally up by 5:30 in the morning. I attempted to go to bed at a reasonable hour last night, up and down, up and down, up and down. I get the call from my granddaughter, and it just, she's not the one that upset me. It's another family member caused some issues, and I just couldn't settle down. It was insane. And I tried to lay down here, and I couldn't sleep, and I got up, and I went to the other bedroom, and the snoring and the coughing and the hacking and the flip-flopping and it just was nuts. I got up and moved back in here, and I didn't sleep well. I've spent, since our time together last couple of weeks, I've spent moving two bedrooms, interchanging their locations, and I have a small bedroom that is now my office. It is what once was my office. The only difference is I have a small bed in here because I work very late at night and I don't want to be disturbing people. And frankly, I can't stand the snoring, so I just decided the hell with it. And there's been a lot going on. I've been getting a massive amount of work done around here with one thing or another, things that need to be done. And no big deal. Who cares? Hey, about 2 weeks ago, I began a massive project. And it's not that it's not online, but it's online in a format that is just so god-awful unacceptable. It was done by Larry Beecraft many, many years ago. And it exceptionally well-done piece. And I decided to take the time to clean it up and post it. And if you go to MorganaPreciousMetals.com, it is a piece entitled "The Federal Reserve, an Astounding Exposure, 1934. And I've move one thing around. And that was a quote by President Andrew Jackson, who had once stated, "You're a den of vipers and thieves. I intend to rout you out. And by the eternal God, I will rout you out." And I have a site called metropolis.cafe. I chose to post the entire post over there as part of my history classes. However, you go to Morgana and you get the opening. It's what I refer to as the prologue. And we're not going to spend the time talking about it today, but I'm going to give you an introduction of it because I really think it is well worth your time to read it. And believe me, it is lengthy. In Beecraft's original position, it was something like 23 or 24 pages. Obviously, because of the layout on the computer and everything else, it cleans up. It's a little shorter. It doesn't have all the other nonsense thrown into it. You know, page number, this, that, and the other thing. I don't need all that stuff. May 23rd, 1933, Congressman Louis T. McFadden brought formal charges against the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Banking System, the Comptroller of the Currency, and the Secretary of the United States Treasury for numerous criminal acts, including but not limited to conspiracy, fraud, unlawful conversion, and treason. Quotations from several speeches made on the floor of the House of Representatives by the Honorable Louis T. McFadden of Pennsylvania. McFadden, due to his having served as chairman of the Banking and Currency Committee for more than 10 years, was the best posted man on these matters in America, was in a position to speak with authority of the vast ramifications of this gigantic private credit monopoly. And if you recall, we spent a considerable time talking about the Fed last Thursday on this program. Some of the headers, the Fed protects gamblers at the expense of the economy, and everything you wanted to know about gold were afraid to ask, which certainly gets into, you know, the endeavors of the Federal Reserve, etc. Our prologue continues. As representative of a state which was among the first to declare its freedom from foreign money tyrants, it is fitting that Pennsylvania, the cradle of liberty, be again given the credit for producing a son that was not afraid to hurl defiance in the face of the money bund. Whereas McFadden was elected to the high office on both the Democrat and Republican tickets, there could be no accusation of partisanship lodged against him. And because this speech or these series of speeches are set out in full in the congressional record, they carry weight that no amount of condemnation on the part of private individuals could hope to carry. This was written so many years ago. Today is 2020. The petition for articles of impeachment was therefore referred to the Judiciary Committee, and to this day has yet to be acted on. That is the sole portion of this that I have posted on Morgana Precious Metals. However, at the bottom, you can click on the button continue. It'll take you to Morgana. It would bore the living daylights out of most listeners for me to recant all of it. But for those of you who give a damn, those of you who want a true understanding, you can either go to Morgana, you can click on it, or you can go directly to metropolis.cafe and read all of it. Obviously, I've come back. I've added some images that Beecraft and others who have reproduced Beecraft's work have not gone in there with. And images of people like Senator Nelson W. Aldrich. Not a particularly kind guy. Nice picture of Roosevelt. Senator Henry Cabot Lodge. Extremely good-looking man, by the way. Far better looking than his son was years later, but very elegant. Mustache, little goatee, etc. Not that that matters. But a very interesting letter that Senator Lodge had written. He was from Massachusetts. Wrote to Senator John Weeks, just a few days before the bill came to a vote, the original Federal Reserve thing. The letter was written on December 17th, and as we all know, long about 10 days, 11 days later, during Christmas, everybody gone home for Christmas now, they passed the Federal Reserve. And it wasn't very much longer that a member of the international banking firm of Kuhn Loeb and Company sent one of their partners to run it. Wait a minute. Wait. The Federal Reserve, which so many people in this country think is, you know, a division of the U.S. federal government, and most of us know it's not. It's owned by a whole bunch of international bankers. An international banking firm from Germany sends one of their partners to run the Federal Reserve. The man's name was Paul Warburg. For those of you who have listened to my work for any length of time, and I know there's a few of you out there, I did a multi-part series some years ago, which I referred to as The Mask of Demetrios. Now, that was a very phenomenal film done in the 1940s by Warner Brothers. But the basis of that film, in my opinion, correlated with this whole mess with the Federal Reserve. But in it, in The Mask of Demetrios, I recanted once again from senatorial records the interview of Paul Warburg and his comments to the investigative committee. It was an absolute frickin' joke. And in his work, he gets into the confiscatory policies of Roosevelt with the gold. I do have one image in here that's a little bit out of date, because it was dated October 30th of 1929. The headline was interesting, but there was a particular part of the headline that became important to me. In that headline for the New York Times, stocks collapse in 16,410,030 share day, but rally at the close cheers the brokers. Bankers optimistic to continue aid. Oh boy, bankers optimistic to continue aid? Isn't that exactly what they're doing today with all that we discussed the other day? You know, all the repo monies and all this other nonsense. It's absolutely terrible. In McFadden's discussion, he talked about Roosevelt seizing the gold. And it was point blank and clean, and it was amazing. And it's one of those relatively rare occasions, although embedded within Metropolis Cafe, I do a massive amount of intertwining links to other articles that are posted within or maybe posted at one of our other sites. And in this particular one, of course, we link back to Roosevelt grabbing the gold, the so-called confiscation of the property of American citizens. And that's exactly the only way you can put it. So I may wind up also posting this thing over in Metropolis because it's part of our history lessons. If you've ever read it and you say, well, but that was April of 5th, 1933. What do we care? Well, you do care because it is indicative exactly what this government has done to us economically, morally, socially, you name it. It's just an absolute bloody nightmare. I have taken massive time years ago on Morgana Precious Metals, but this actually goes back to the days of what it was referred to as FlyingEagleGold.com, and I wish I'd kept that name for many, many reasons. But a lot of it had to do with that was a custom design website, and very difficult to translate all of that over into this mechanism. We did a completely hand-typed facsimile of Roosevelt's executive order. and quite interesting. I have always tried to refer people and say, look, you know, when they go for the gold, is you know, all persons hereby required to deliver honor before May 1st, 1933, to a Federal Reserve Bank or a branch or agency thereof, or to any member bank of the Federal Reserve System, all gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them or coming into their ownership on or before April the 28th, 1933. Except the following. A is interesting because it doesn't really include us. Such amount of gold as may be required for legitimate and customary use in industry, profession, or art within a reasonable time, including gold prior to refining and stocks of gold in reasonable amounts for the usual trade requirements of owners mining and refining such gold. Here was the interesting one. Section 2, paragraph B. This was exempted from confiscatory. Gold coin and gold certificates in an amount not exceeding in the aggregate $100 belonging to any one person, and gold coins having a recognized special value to collectors of rare and unusual coins. Why was that paragraph put in? Roosevelt was an avid stamp collector, I was told. Whether that's true or not, I do not know. And some of his buddies came along and said, hey, Frankie, Booby, baby, what would happen if you had to confiscate stamps? We'd have to turn in our collections. We're the rich boys. So Roosevelt inserts this thing and allows collectors of so-called rare and unusual coins. Now, don't misunderstand where I'm about to go. I'm not getting ready to get into a sales pitch to buy a bunch of rare coins, okay? But at that point in time, the only coins that were considered rare and unusual were, in effect, 1932 and older. It was illegal to own 1933 U.S. gold and maintain ownership of it. But any U.S. gold minted prior to 1932 was exempt if you owned it in the form of a collection. So you could have one and two and a half and $3 and $4 gold pieces. You could have the fives, the tens, the $20 gold pieces. There were a few 50s out there, but they were special custom strikes for one reason or another. But you could maintain them. But you couldn't just go out and buy a roll of 1924 $20 St. Gaudens gold pieces, or just a roll of 1907s, because now you were a hoarder. You were not a collector. That remained for many, many years. Now, keep several things in mind. When the stock market collapsed in October of 29, it had reached its all-time high in May of that year and continue to kind of creep downward little by little by little. Jump up a little bit, come back down a little bit. From May 1929 until sometime, and I cannot recall the date, in 1955, it took that many years for the stock market to recover. What? 1929 to 39 to 49. So you're talking 26 years. If our market were to collapse today, would you be prepared to wait 26 years for recovery? Because even if it recovered due to inflation and everything else, the buying power wouldn't be worth a damn. And how many of the companies would have gone out of business anyway? All right, but by 1954, Congress got together and began to do some other stuff. They modified the collector's side of this, allowing you to own any gold coin minted prior to 1933. That's what opened up the whole ballgame for me years and years and years ago when Robbie Noel and I worked at a company called Viking International Trading. People were paying outrageous sums of money to buy U.S. $5 gold pieces, roughly a quarter ounce coin. Well, British sovereigns were roughly a quarter ounce. I could buy those so cheap it was pitiful. And so we began to offer British sovereigns and Swiss francs and a variety of French 20-franc pieces and the Italian lira and the Greek drachma. Now, the Belgian, you know, franc, etc. And keep in mind, Europeans are interesting people. There was an international currency over there. Now, they didn't call it that. But many of those coins that I've just mentioned, the Greek drachma, the Belgian franc, the Italian lira, the Swiss franc, there's another one in there I can't remember. Each and every one of those coins was the exact same size, weight, and purity. Period. You could cross the border and spend a coin from Switzerland over in France, or an Italian piece in Belgium. There was no... They were trading for the weight, the purity. There was not one bit of difference other than the stamp of whoever ruler happened to be in each of those countries at that time, and of course their coat of arms or some specialized design on the back of the coin. Interesting. So they all began looking at those as collectibles. Now, understand what a collectible means. Let's go back to the U.S., let's say the $20 gold piece, St. Gaudens of the Liberties. You could own 20, 30, you could own 100 of them. Didn't make any difference. Based upon that Section 2, Paragraph B, you know, the special value to collectors of rare and unusual. Well, by that time, they're all unusual because they ain't making them anymore. So we talk about a roll. A roll is 20. Okay. It means you had to have different dates, different mint marks, maybe some different conditions of the same denomination. Now you're considered to be a collector. But with what I introduced to the marketplace in about 1995, it created something completely new. It created a growth. People began to understand it. And therefore, we began offering all those different European coins that we mentioned. And when it comes down to it, folks, gold is gold is gold, okay? That's what it comes down to. As it became available, some interesting stuff. I was able to come across some Russian pieces. I was on an airplane with my granddaughter, I believe. We were going to, no, my daughter. She was so young at the time. I think about her in terms of my granddaughter. My daughter and I had gone to, took a trip to Wisconsin. And that's where I was from originally. And I read a piece on a newspaper about the availability of these Russian pieces with, unfortunately, Lenin on them. Very interesting piece. And I began to acquire some of those for clients. Not because they were communists, but because it was just another form of a gold coin. It was kind of unusual. Today, they're almost not available. They're unbelievably expensive. They became a true collector's piece in that respect. But so, you know, we'd get some of those for clients who were interested in them. You know, they'd get 2, 5, 10, whatever they could afford, whatever they were looking for. And then as time went on, I began to be able to acquire coins from Mexico and South America. Became quite interesting. But that's what made a collector. But if the price is right, and that's something I was hoping to go working on today for you, and I ran out of time. You know, we can acquire gold at extremely affordable prices, and we'll do our best to look into that. And if this, you know, general direction of what we've talked about here today is of any interest, it's something we would like to talk about. And more than happy to dig into it for you to see what we can come across, see what's out there. I know I can get Swiss francs fairly commonly right now. French 20-franc pieces. It's just quite interesting. Part of it comes down to the amount of funds you want to work with. just to ensure that in the future, if anything ever goes haywire and they decide to do a modified reinstatement of Roosevelt's gold grab, and believe me, with this crooked SOBs, they're trying to get the guns, they're trying to get everything. Nothing would surprise me. So you want to quietly, privately, Jesus, God, don't pick up the phone and call these other companies and whip out your MasterCard. Don't whip out your debit card. That is not how you want to buy gold or silver. Period. You want to maintain privacy. You do not want to whip out your MasterCard, your Visa, your American Express, or anything else and buy a bunch of gold, because now there's a record of it. I work with my clients as I have for many, many years now, and I'm very emphatic. I don't even like doing a bank wire. Number one, the banks are the ones that make a bunch of money on it. You got to pay your bank to send the wire. I got to pay a fee to get the wire. Uh-oh, now there's a record that you've wired a bunch of money to this guy out in Arizona. And guess what happens? Yeah. So I generally tell people, I mean, if you're doing something for under $1,000, you want to send me a couple of money orders, that's fine. I don't care. But for the average person out there, that, you know, a personal check, you can get a bank issue check. If they start getting nosy, well, who's Cattle Marine and what are you buying? I'm buying a lifetime supply of prophylactics. What do you want? Excuse me. I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's I have no problem taking personal checks. My bank clears most within 2 days, unless it's an extremely large amount of money. But even then, I've been able to combat the bank and get them off their butt because, you know, they're sitting there, well, you know, we got to hold this check for 14 days. And I give it 2 or 3 days, and I get a hold of the client and said, call your bank, see if the bank, if the fund's cleared. And they call, and they do. And I go into my bank and say, here's the name and phone number of the bank. It's cleared. It's been paid. You're not sitting in my client's money for 2 weeks. I got stuff to ship out. And you know what? My bank has laid down for it. And they said, okay. Bingo. We're in business that way. So that's the kind of thing you want to do. Don't be whipping out your MasterCard by any gold, any silver. It's the dumbest thing you could possibly do. You know, it's like going out and buying a gun and whipping out your credit card. Okay? How smart is that? Yeah, I just went and bought me a nice 1911 reproduction with Donald Trump's signature on it, and I whooped out my MasterCard from Joe and Harry's gun and gold and coin and rock shop. Not a smart thing to do, folks. Not a smart thing to do at all. So, I have now spent a half an hour babbling. I'm not objectionable to it. Understand something. Not one bit of this is what I'd had planned for the program today. However, I'm glad I did it because it eats up the time, baby. Maybe you've learned something with it, and that's important, and that's good. When I began working with RBN back in '05, we had a radically different audience, and they were very heavy duty gold and silver buyers. They understood the importance of the long term intergenerational wealth, the privacy factors, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have those same kind of buyers here today. In very small amounts, we do. And we've got some very good clients out there, but things have just been crazy. Look, you know, the holidays come around, Christmas comes around. You know, yeah, you're probably out there buying some extra guns so you can go do a nice big rally down in Virginia. I reported the living hell out of that. I was deeply involved with that thing all weekend. Hey, stick around. We'll be right back. Little Kingston Trio to fade us out with. And don't give a damn about a greenback dollar. Give me the gold, baby. Stay with us.
For a wailing song and a good guitar, the only things that I understand. Oh boy, the only things that I understand.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Through some little headline things I'm finding. JCPenney is closing down some more stores. Six of its stores will be closing for good, effective April 24th. The stores were selected for closure after a, quote, standard annual review, department store retailers said. Decision is the result of careful and ongoing review of our store portfolio. The six stores are located at the Southgate Mall in Missoula, Montana, Myrtle Beach Mall in South Carolina, Chapel Hill Mall in Akron, Ohio, the Tulsa Promenade in Oklahoma, and the Green Acres Mall in Valley Stream, New York. Green Acres, a place I love. No, it's New York. Ain't got no use for it. Let me see. What else we got? Green Acres. Okay, wait. All right, that's it. They're also closing the call center in Lenexa, Kansas, which will impact 243 jobs. Look, it's happening no matter where you go. I share with you that just after Thanksgiving, I went to Palm Desert, California, to begin the first step of a 50-year reunion of three guys that had been in Vietnam together. And there was a Sears store that I wasn't even aware of the fact it was there. I'm just walking through the mall. The guys went to a couple of movies. I could care less about seeing the stupid movies. And I'm just walking around, just enjoying myself. And here's this Sears store. Everything's, you know, the 30 to 50% off minimum. And I walked in and bought a couple, two, three pair of pants and a sweatshirt, which wound up being a little too small. I gave it to my granddaughter. And she's a lot smaller than I am, and I just, you know, look at the size on it, but I didn't bother to figure that, wait a minute, that size is for, you know, an Asian guy, extra large, and an Asian guy is like extra small in America, but whatever the case may be. And that store is now closed. I'm told there's not a single Sears store, large, we're talking about the full retail store, left here in Arizona. That store was going to be open, the one in Palm Desert was going to be open until Christmas and a week or so afterwards due to their final closeout. But not just clothing. I mean tools, kitchen appliances, washers, dryers, everything in a place. I guarantee you all the tools were gone by Christmas. You know, and this is what we're facing, people. People get on Amazon, in eBay, they buy their clothes. I ain't buying clothes that I can't see and touch and feel and try on. And first of all, I wear, I don't know what the hell you call them. They're kind of a canvas type of pants. They've got some large pockets in them and stuff like that. And they're making those damn things in stretch pants now. I own one pair like that. The legs are great. The waist stretches out, and it's just that the pants fall off of you. I hate them. I want old-fashioned, you know, denim or khaki-type stuff. I don't want all this newfangled junk. You know, you buy underwear today. I can't even buy the kind of underwear I've worn for 72 freaking years. They don't make it anymore. And now they're making it in some, you know, breathable black. What's wrong with cotton? Cotton breathed. Cotton lasted. I don't need all this utter nonsense. But people go online and buy this crap. It's unbelievable. What's going on with the markets today, or do we really care? Dow Jones Industrial off 152 at 29,199. Let's call it 190 or 29,200. S&P 500 off 6.5 at 32.23. NASDAQ down almost 14 at 93.75. Global Dow's down. They're down 18 points at 32.82. Gold off about 240. Gold's actually done all right. We're just, you know, a couple bucks shy of 1560 on gold right now. Oil's down another 29 cents, but it ain't going down at my local market. These guys are scumbuckets of stuff they're pulling, man. What do we got here? Netflix, Intel, and IBM. By the way, you're looking for a job? I saw a thing recently that Taco Bell is willing to pay their managers $100,000 a year. Somebody came out and said, big deal. In-N-Out Burger pays their managers $160,000 a year. Man, would that be a way for me to go out in life? Go see if I can get a job at a manager at In-N-Out Burger at $160,000 a year. You know what my first job was? Tony's Drive-In. It was, you know, soft ice cream, burgers, dogs, you know, this kind of stuff. The milkshakes, French fries, all that kind of. First day I walked in to join Tony. Tony was like 4'8", Italian guy, real thick glasses, short. The guy was too cheap to put a business phone in the restaurant. He had a payphone. That's how people would call. And he had to go to call home. And he's got to get up on his tippy toes because he's too cheap to have the phone remounted down where he could reach it, right? Up on his tippy toes, looking through his super Coke bottle-sized glasses, dropping his nickel or dime, whatever it used to cost back in 1962, to make a phone call. I can't remember how much it was. Was it a quarter? I don't think so. Anyway, rotary dial phone, rotary dial pay phone. He's dialing in, you know. Maybe he's calling it to place an order. Maybe he's calling. I walked in a joint my first day in a job, Chapola mode, Chapola. I got 1 gallon bottles. Not plastic back then, glass bottles. My job was to hand dice onions. Chop real fine. No, Tony don't want to give nice chunks of onions away. He wants those things almost like, you know, talcum. Chapola. It's my first job. Minimum wage. What was it? 80-some cents an hour or something stupid? I don't remember what it was. Maybe I should go out and make 160 grand a year. The hell with talking to people on the radio. The hell with keeping my nose up the grindstone of news and finance and everything else, you know. Oh, good Lord. What a world we live in, let me tell you. Speaking about jobs, they keep going away. I think I shared with you about a month ago, less than that, I walked into a Home Depot. It's kind of down in the ghetto, but it was down the street from where I was, and I figured I'd walk in there. And I pick some stuff up. I'm walking around, and I get up near the front register. There's nobody working the registers. What do you mean there's nobody working the registers? They don't have a register open for people to go pay. Everything is self-checkout. Everything. You got to be kidding me. Put my stuff down and walked out. I will not do business that way. You know, you go to Lowe's, they got three self-checkout registers. Everything else, if there's enough business there, they got people running the registers. Sorry, I want to keep people working. Secondly, when I go to Lowe's, I get to see Sarah or some of my other friends that work over there, and people that I've gotten to know over the years, and we'll chat, you know, we'll talk. Oh, but we can't have that. That slows the thing up. That slows up people paying their money. All right, so they go to the self-checkout. Their card's screwed up. It's not working right. They don't understand how to work it. They got to have some idiot standing there showing them how to do it. It's stupid. Michael Snyder, Economic Collapse, posted a piece last week, which I saw over the weekend. I don't go to these sites every single day. The robots are coming. The robots are coming. Yeah. They're going to take over millions of jobs. You already began to see it in McDonald's a couple of years ago when they started putting those little glass things. You walk up to it and place your own order and all this stuff. I walked into McDonald's over by Thomas, where my granddaughter and I go sometimes. And 107th, actually it's 99th and Thomas. And I walked in there and here's McDonald's. First time I'd seen these new self-order things, right? And I walk in, and this chick comes up, says, "Oh, sir, come on over. Let me show you how to work this." I looked at it and said, "No, thanks." "Oh, but it's so easy." I said, "That's not the point." I said, "You look at that thing. You'd kiss your job goodbye." And her jaw just kind of dropped. It never dawned on him. These people are so ignorant that they just don't get it. "Hey, Princess Julie, did you see my note on the board, honey?" Anyway, Walmart Inc., the robot army is growing. World's largest retailer is going to be adding shelf scanning robots to 650 more U.S. stores by the end of this summer. 1,000 stores are going to have robots running it. And you wonder, oh, did I forget to enter the stupid thing? Yeah, I did. There it is. I'm sorry. It's why I don't like Walmart. It's why I don't like Amazon. I'm sorry. If I want a book, I'd rather pay the extra price to walk into a bookstore, a place that actually employs some people of intelligence. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody out there, but it's reality, folks. But we got enough problems with these little snowflake whinies. I think that's who it is, yeah. He's the one that's got a three-hour program. He called me one day, months ago, because of one of the Friday programs I'd done and asked if he could rebroadcast it on his show. And I had his email, and I've lost track of it. And I need to get a hold of him, so... Anyway, it's a real problem we have, and we it's bad enough we got all these snowflakes that are living in mommy and daddy's basements that decide to go outside and play Halloween every weekend by, you know, wearing black clothes and putting masks on their face to go out and see what kind of stink they can raise on people. So a lot of interesting stuff like that going on. Well, what is this nonsense? Hang on a second. It's another piece I put aside for doing on the show. Oh, Bernie Sanders has not quite captured what Wall Street does. Hey, Bernie, it's actually a fraud monetization system with a money printing unit called the New York Fed. Now, you think about that. I can share that commentary on the air, but we won't have enough time. It's a great piece by Pam and Russ Martins, dated today. And if you can find it at WallStreetOnParade.com. And the interesting thing is that if you read this, and this is 2020, and go back to 1934, and read McFadden stuff, you'll come to the realization that not only has nothing changed, it is all played more in their favor. Yeah. What's the markets done today? Oh, God. It's been what, since last Thursday when I was on? And it's crazy. We're going to get to something here in a second. If I can find it, I'm going to share this commentary with you from my friend. Palladium up down $6 today at $2,289 an ounce. Platinum is down 20. Now that's interesting. Platinum was up to $1,022. For some reason, platinum's starting to move. Don't know why. Currently stands at $1,002 an ounce. Silver down 24 on the day at $1,776. It's a good year. And gold, holding in the upper 1550s, currently sitting at about 1558. Now, let's talk about rhodium for a minute, because it's something I continue to bring up on a continual I'm not having that kind of a problem sleeping, Ivan. It's funny you should happen to email me, buddy, because it's just you that I was talking about, and we're going to kind of include this stuff into our program here today. If I can find it. Come on. What the living daylights is going on here? This is insane. This is absolutely insane. Why did that disappear? That's stupid. All right. You know what? Some days, what in the living daylights is going on with this computer of mine? It ain't the computer. It's being messed with. Yeah, this is really crazy. I'm searching for something. Where is it, you stupid idiots? Okay, there it is. No, it's not coming up. This is crazy. What do you mean? It's not going to be in there? Oh, this is nuts. I had this stupid thing put aside, man. And I should have pulled it up and put it elsewhere. But I can't find it now. Because I keep bringing this issue up. And unfortunately, we're doing live programming. And because this has been kind of a tongue-in-cheek, I'm doing it as I go along. I don't necessarily, which is not normal for me. Very unusual for me to do stuff like that. And that's coming in through there. Or let's try it here. Bear with me. Got it. I knew I'd find it. All right. Rhodium. I continue to ask, what the hell is it used for? Ivan sent me this early in the month. Rhodium is used to make electrical contacts as jewelry and in catalytic converters, but is most frequently used as an alloying agent in other materials such as platinum and palladium. These alloys are used to make such things as furnace coils, electrodes for aircraft spark plugs, and laboratory crucibles. And there's a whole involved thing. No known biological use, no known use for life processes. Some compounds of rhodium are carcinogenic, almost no reported. I may wind up posting this thing on the website. Very, very interesting, and I thank you, my friend, for that. It just drove me crazy looking for it right now. So rhodium sits today up $500 an ounce at $8,900. Jesus, God. You know, it was just a few months ago, the stuff was $5,000, man. And even that was insane. Palladium's at $2,289. I remember when rhodium was down there. But catalytic converters, and yet the reports we're reading are telling us that car sales are way down. Don't talk to me about car sales being well down. Way down. I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw this card. It was kind of interesting. And it's not that I'm looking to buy right now. $1,900 for, I think it was a 2005 or 2007 Honda, like a Pilot or something like that. One owner car, very, very low mileage, no accents, this, that, and the other thing. $1,900. I said, what? Well, needless to say, it must be in an area that's real tight for, you know, for money. Or, well, you're buying the car, but there's no engine in it. I don't know. It was an L model, so very highly rated leather upholstery, the whole nine yards, which even I live in Arizona. I prefer leather upholstery. It far outlasts the cloth, and they usually come with heaters, etc. Yesterday, I'm on there, and I find what the equivalent of a C7 Jeep. You know, soft top. Probably no AC. Maybe it did, though. I didn't look. And that was $2,000. And so what the heck? It decided the biggest scam in the world, but the things were gone, like, almost instantaneously. If I had a bunch of money, I'd call these people up and say, I'll tell you what, pal, it's done. I'm on a plane. I'll be there late tonight. I'll be there to pick it up with cash. Of course, I'd liable to get on a plane and fly there and find out the guy got cash from somebody else. I don't know. You know, maybe it's $2,000 down. Maybe it's $1,900 down. I didn't go that far because I didn't care. But, it has to be. There's no way that cars as nice as what they were showing are going to sell for that kind of money. And very, very interesting. But there is a big problem in car sales in this country. They're way, way down, and the dealers are out trying to do some deals to do whatever it takes to move product, and they're not doing very well with it. Think about that for a second. They're not doing well with it at all. That's in junk. Let's talk about this. How about we don't? What is this? Final day. Paper perfect deals over at Office Max. Actually, I need some paper. I'm down on my last ream. But I don't need a 10-ream case, you know? I just don't. There's actually a form of paper I like. Hey, anyway, we're running out of time. This has been a strange program for me because the things that I put aside that I was going to get into, I wound up not getting into too much of anything. I just kind of touched briefly on them. The discussion about McFadden, the introduction to a little bit more regarding Roosevelt's gold grab, how it got modified later, partially because of some personal friends of his that were wealthy people that, you know, advised against doing what he was going to do without some, you know, adjustments, which he made, and how those adjustments were further readjusted in 1954. Those laws still are on the books, people. It's that simple. Those laws are on the books. So if you are interested, thank you, my friend. It's always good to see you drop in while I'm on the air, Ivan. It's Ivan and I go back a lot of years, and his very, very close friend who I knew as well as I could have known him, Howard, been gone for a long, long time, and what a team those two guys made. Had their own broadcast for a while together, and I don't know if that came about because they used to listen to my stuff and my ranting, etc., and it intrigued them. Don't know, but we had some great times together, and Ivan has continued to stay in touch. And if you make that move to you know where, come hell or high water, I'm coming up, brother. I am coming up. And I may never leave. Sitka. What a great place, man. Just phenomenal place. The history in that community is just unreal. And, you know, there's a restaurant downtown. Typical, you know, breakfast, lunch, diner type thing. But it's nice. And white tablecloths. And in the warmer months of the year, you know, all the servers are they come over the water from Russia. You know that, don't you? Right? And some nice looking gals too. But what the hell? I'm getting old. Oy vey. Anyway, let's go back to the gold discussion. I've only got a moment or so. 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You want to talk a little bit further about some gold, some silver? Maybe you've got some stuff you've had years ago you want to do some trading on. Maybe you need to sell some and you need to move your stuff. That's what I'm here for. RBN's certainly going to get some advantage out of it as well. You're going to get the main advantage. I'll make a couple of shekels off of it for handling a trade for you. And whether you're buying, selling, trading, just want to call up, pick up the phone, call me and say hello. Maybe we haven't talked for quite a while. The other factor, of course, is that you can, you know, email me through the website, or if you have other email addresses for me, they're all still pretty well active. And any questions? We've been sending some emails out, not to everybody so far. We're taking a few at a time. I've had exactly one response, and it was from a gal who I know well, and just so glad to hear from me. Thanks for the note. No one else has responded, either because they no longer listen, they're not involved, they're buying from somebody else, or maybe those emails just aren't getting out to anybody. I've been having some problems with a couple of my email accounts, and I've got to do some digging into this stuff to find out just what the living daylights is going on. All right? So anyway, you guys, I think we're just about done here. I'll be back Thursday. Lord knows, depending on other things, I may be back some other time during the week. I may be up with John tonight for a few minutes. See, John and I talked about it. And so we'll, I got to pop a quick note over here to Princess Julie. Yes, that's the guy. So we'll see what happens. I may come up, pop up with John for a few minutes tonight if I can get with my suppliers and see what kind of snooky stuff we've got available. And we'll go from there. Okay. So what's buzzing here? Somebody trying to call me at this point when I'm not even off the air yet. Hey, if you happen to be calling from a 901 area code, give me a few minutes. I'm still not off the air. We're going now. You guys take care. We'll see you when we see you. Have a good day, will you? Bye-bye.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivera?